Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome to City on a Hill Radio Show. Thank you for joining us this evening. We're going to be joined. I'm Barbara Moore, and Diana Cruz will be on in just a few minutes. We're also going to be joined by Barbara and Alicia tonight and talk a bit more about what's going on in Alaska and in New York, I believe. Alaska did not sign on to the Common Core, but they are experiencing still effects of Common Core in various ways, and we'll hear more about that, which is very important because as the states that did adopt Common Core, the Common Core system, the initiative and the standards, as we get out from under this, we have to be on the alert for what is going to be coming in place of it. So we want to hear all about that this evening. I'm thinking that there is just the movement to abolish Common Core is growing. It is increasing in intensity. And it reminds me of the words spoken by Shakespeare in his play Julius Caesar, where Brutus observed, "There is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in misery. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures." Now, we're not quite at that full sea and afloat. We're not quite there, but I really think that we're going to get there, and we've got to take it for all it's worth. We've got to take the current when it's the right time, when we are on such a full sea and afloat. I think those are words of wisdom. There is a tide in the affairs of men, and so we can learn from those words of Shakespeare. I am having some technical difficulties. We've been having some of those recently with the show, and I'm not able to see if anyone has joined us. I'm not able to unmute their lines at this point. But when Diana gets here, she will be able to do that, and we will get started with our guests on the program. And I don't think that that I can hear them, or I don't know if they can hear me. So, but I do believe that we are broadcasting, and I'll just continue to stay on until Diana joins us and she's able to work through those technical difficulties. So I ask you to bear with us because we have some really remarkable guests tonight. And, you know, as we always do, you know, God has been so good to us here at City on a Hill Radio Show and has blessed us with remarkable people, just absolutely wonderful experts in so many fields, and people who just have a heart for God and have the knowledge that He imparts. It's so beautiful to see those that He brings together, people from all different walks of life. And the common denominator among all of us is our love for God, and that we are Christians. We are born again through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And at City on a Hill Radio Show, we always begin with prayer. So that's what we're going to do right now. So let's bow our hearts,
Barbara,
and our heads. Hey, Diana, thank you. I'm so glad you're on because nothing is showing up for me tonight.
Oh, I am so sorry, Miss Barbara. And I did sign on, and I do see the board, but I think right now I do not see the others. So, but we'll get started, and hopefully they'll be joining us shortly. I know we spoke to Barbara last night, so she should be coming on, and Alice also. I'm hoping that they will be also coming on. But if you don't mind, Ms. Barbara, if you'll start us off in prayer, I will try to send a message through to them while you're doing that.
Okay, that'd be wonderful. Now, did you say Alice from Texas?
Uh-huh. Our friend Alice Linehan from Texas is joining us tonight, hopefully, but now I don't see her yet, so hopefully nothing's come through.
Okay.
You know how it is at night, everybody's trying to take care of family and do all sorts of stuff, so, but
yeah,
I'm going to check with her. And
yeah,
I can imagine. Okay,
yeah,
if you want to be praying, I will try to get a hold of them.
Okay, well, folks, let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and to be able to address you, Father, and to bring our needs before you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you desire to hear from your people. Father, that gives us such security to know that you really want to hear from us, that you desire us even more than we desire you. We thank you for the safety and the assurance of that, Father. Your word reveals it to us, and we can rest in that knowledge that it's important to you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of broadcasting all over the world, sharing your truth. We thank you, Father, that you are teaching us. Your word tells us that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher when we yield our lives to you. We thank you, Lord, that He will teach us, and as we apply what you teach us, Lord, then we're able to bear more as we use the knowledge that you give us. Then we're able to learn more. Father, there's no need for us to learn more if we don't use what you've already given us. So I pray, Father, we will be doers of your word, not hearers only. Not always seeking more and more knowledge, but seeking to do your will and your good pleasure, Father, so that we can bear more and be more effective in your work, Lord, here on this earth. So we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you now for our guests when they come on, Lord. We thank you for all our guests. How good you are, Father, to bless us with such just such wonderful people, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon their loved ones, upon their lives, their loved ones, that they prosper, Father, that you prosper them in everything they set their hand to. And some of our guests, Father, are in a place to make very important decisions, and we pray, Father, your guidance for those important decisions and your guidance and instructions for all our decisions in our lives, Lord, that you would be honored and that mankind would be benefited. We thank you, Father. We pray, Lord, that you will help us, Father, to do what's necessary to protect our children from the vain philosophies of the world, the philosophy of humanism and atheism and materialism and communism and socialism, all the isms, Father, fascism, all of them, Father, that we will be able to protect our children and we'll be able to raise up a godly generation for you, for your holy purpose, Lord. And we bless you and we praise you, Father. You are our God, our Father, and we love you. Be blessed, Father, as we gather in your name here tonight. Be blessed. Be honored, O Lord. Be glorified. For it is our desire that that be so. In Jesus' precious name we pray together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. And we do have Barbara Haney with us, Ms. Barbara, from Alaska, our dear friend from Alaska. And I'm sure that Alice will be coming on. I do see her, but she's so busy. She's probably talking to somebody and don't even see what's going on. I'm putting a chat message on here. So I was saying, hi, Alice, can you see us? But anyway, but we're excited because we do have one part of this two-state, non-common core states that we were wanting to talk to them about what happened in their state. And Ms. Barbara, you haven't heard the story yet that she, Mrs. Haney, has shared with us, but I'm going to let her share it with us because, shock of all shock, Barbara Haney, you are not supposed to be a Common Core state. Your state's not supposed to have anything to do with Common Core, but to the contrary, how did you find out about it? I then forgot how you started off and just really stumbled on it.
Well, the state was in the process of rewriting their standards, and that is a whole other tale in and of itself that I'm going to leave separate from. Knowing that backstory would understand why I have a prurient interest in the standards. But be that as it may, many years ago, I was part of writing the original set of, they weren't standards, they were recommendations. That the state had back in the 90s, and I was on that team. So I have this prurient interest in kind of keeping abreast of what's going on, you know. I mean, it's easy to say they're undoing my work, but that wasn't entirely it because they'd already been revised twice since then, but I was still staying, you know, somewhat interested in what was going on. My kids are grown. I have grandkids in school. Most of them will be either graduated or beyond where Common Core is going to have a major impact on them. Okay, so in many respects, I can sit here and say I don't have a pony in the race, but I do because this is going to have an enormous impact, not just on students but on taxpayers and the like. I was actually helping some of the other states. I'm an economist, and there were a couple other states who were trying to grapple with the cost of Common Core and implementing it in these broadband things, that the broadband requirements that are part of it. And so I was doing a couple of Google searches, and lo and behold, in my Google box came up Common Core workshop in Alaska. And I'm like, what? So I clicked on it, obviously, and I looked, and lo and behold, in Fairbanks, Alaska, they were having a Common Core teacher in-service workshop by invitation only. Now, I found that to be very strange. Back in 2010, when Lisa Murkowski was running against Joe Miller for U.S. Senate, Senator Murkowski had arranged for a Race to the Top grant for the Anchorage School District. And it's my understanding that that's what happened. Now, I can't prove that. It's my understanding that I've been told verbally that she arranged for that grant, which is why all the teachers in Anchorage were like, oh, we love Lisa. And that's why Anchorage had the Common Core. The rest of the state did not. So I saw that and I thought, how odd that Common Core workshop is in Fairbanks. So I called the school district and I said, I see you guys have listed a Common Core workshop. They said, oh, yeah, it's for the Anchorage teachers. And I said, it's for the Anchorage teachers? She goes, yeah, we have a workshop. Unless we call it Common Core, the teachers down in Anchorage don't get credit for it. Oh, okay. And I just left it at that. I didn't argue with the lady. But I thought to myself, this doesn't make sense. Teachers don't come up to Fairbanks from Anchorage to have a Common Core workshop, especially one by invitation only. That's bizarre. So I called the office of the governor, and I said, I happen to notice that on the state server, there is a workshop sponsored by the Alaska Administrators Coaching Project on the Common Core, and it's on the state server, and it's going to be in Fairbanks. I said, I was kind of curious, did I miss something and we adopted the Common Core? What did I miss? Did the governor's position change? And so she goes, well, let me research it. She goes, but I think that's for the Anchorage teachers. I said, okay, save it for somebody else. Anchorage teachers don't drive to Fairbanks for teacher in-service training. Sorry. You know, let's just get that out of the way right now. You're talking to somebody who's been in the field that's not going to fly with me. Let me research it. I said, okay. So this was March 27th of this year. April 2nd, 3rd, governor's office sends me an email, calls me back, and she said, no, the state has not adopted Common Core standards. No, the state has no intention of ever adopting the Common Core standards. And that workshop was listed as a mistake. It has been corrected. I went back to the server, and the workshop had been disappeared. And it was very interesting. There had been this whole list of Common Core workshops listed. And you know, I took screenshots of them, obviously, because I wasn't going to be proved like to be a nut, all right? And they redid the whole website, and it was gone. And I thought, well, good thing I took these screenshots, huh? But, you know, I took them at their word. You know, I liked the governor. I just figured he had somebody in his administration out of control. And this happens from time to time. You get a renegade kind of person who is new and doesn't know all the ins and outs of politics, and they just go off willy-nilly and do things, right? And the governor has to go, excuse me, tap him on the shoulder and rein him on in, right? So, I mean, this is not unheard of in Alaska. And so I assumed that that's what happened. They just had some administrator who was over-exuberant that was out there typing junk and just out in the pucker brush. And that, you know, since it was all redone, the governor reined him in, brought him back on the reservation, and all was good. So life goes on. I continue watching the legislature and working on some other issues with respect to the legislature, like oil taxes, which were really important to the governor and to myself. Reforming oil taxes was a major priority this last session. So the session ends, the party happens, okay? And lo and behold, two or three days later, there's an announcement by the Alaska Department of Education that they had signed an agreement with Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium to reflect the college and career ready standards that they had recently adopted. And I spent about probably 5 minutes just trying to breathe. This is a governor I've donated my time, my effort, my money, lots of money to help elect. This is a governor when he said he couldn't get things done, that he needed a conservative legislature, that I went out and helped him with the composition of the Senate to get that legislature so he could drive his agenda through. this is a governor that I believed in, and I believed when he said things. So I was absolutely mortified. Maybe three or four nights later, I saw the governor at a fundraiser that I was helping host for him. And he made the announcement that he was running for re-election. And afterwards, I got him aside and I asked him about it. And he said, oh, no, we didn't adopt the Common Core standards. And I said, well, you joined Smarter Balance. That's the Common Core testing group. That's the consortia. He goes, oh, no, we didn't adopt standards. He goes, we just had to do that to get some other paperwork out of the federal government. And I said, I think you don't understand what you just did. He goes, well, here, let me have you talk to, he gave me his card. He goes, gave me his assistant's card. He goes, let me have the commissioner talk to you. He goes, to square this away for you. Okay. So 2 days go by. I give his assistant a call. This was a Saturday night, so I couldn't call on a Sunday, obviously. Well, I wouldn't call on a Sunday. Called on Monday, I think it was Monday or Tuesday morning. And next day I got a call from the Commissioner of Education directly. And I asked him about it. I said, what's up with this? And I said, the governor says he's not adopting the Common Core standards. You signed up for a consortium that tests the Common Core. And he goes, well, we didn't adopt it. And I said, well, you're testing it. Obviously, if you're testing the standards, if you're testing the Common Core, the rest of it doesn't matter. Because if you don't pass this, if the kids don't pass this test, then you're just going to go back through and you're going to make everybody redo all the junk, all their standards and their curriculum. I said, you've got the test. The test is what drives the curriculum and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
And he goes, well, we had to. And I said, you had to for what? He goes, well, the federal government kind of put us in a position where that was something we had to do. And I said, well, I don't think that's really quite true. I said, he goes, well, it's the cheapest test out there. I said, no, that's not true either. And I started showing him first I showed him that the states that didn't have the consortium in the waiver, Alabama and Utah, at that time Georgia still had not withdrawn. Michigan was still considering at that point. This was in May, okay. I inspired the members of the education committee to get together. Well, I didn't inspire them. A group of us inspired them. They got a hold of the commissioner and had him come talk to the education committee about this Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium agreement. Very interesting situation in Alaska. Our legislature only meets for 90 days a year, okay? This is an idea that the legislators are citizen legislators, okay? That they work another job. They work another job outside of their legislative life. So since they only meet for 90 days and they had recessed, they wouldn't reconvene again until January, there isn't a whole lot we could do. Now, the Alaska Constitution says that the legislature, the Alaska legislature, is in charge of education. Now, there's a lot of statutes involved in different things, and I don't want to get into the weeds of that right now. The point of the matter is this is where we're at, okay? They've implemented the program. They just went totally around. Since the waiver was written, or since they received the waiver, I was able to get a copy of it and look at the supporting documents and do some FOIA requests. And what I found out is that Patrick Gamble wrote this letter to Arne Duncan on Alaska's behalf for the standards. Apparently, Achieve Inc. was contacted. The consultants from Achieve Inc. that were connected with Smarter Balance were put in place to do the in-service, to make the list of who would be involved in writing the standards, to draw up the lists of who would be involved in the private sector. they operated the meetings with the teachers. There's something called curriculum crosswalks. They are the ones who motivated the GLE, the move from the GLEs to the standards. Now, interestingly, you know the technique they use is the Delphi technique, right? You're aware of Delphi techniques. It's a psychological technique that's used, right? And with educators, they usually use a crosswalk to do that. And that's where a crosswalk is where you have, like, your old standards and the new standards, and they take you point by point and walk you into the other standard mentally, okay? And so you go, oh, well, that's not so bad. Well, we could change this word, and we can do this, and it'll be just like that. And, you know, it won't be really change, okay, kind of operation. As an interesting side note, the English teachers seem to roll pretty quickly. I'm not sure why. It must have been a restricted group of them is all I got to say. Because I know most of the English teachers I know are very unhappy with these standards. However, the math teachers refused to budge. That's what's interesting. Now, the standards we had in math were already not that great, okay? But you have to keep in mind, what we had at that time were not standards as such. We had GLEs. GLEs are grade level expectations, and they are minimums, okay? Not, in other words, this is a bare minimum, okay, that we expect out of students. It was not like when those GLEs were written, they were not written thinking, what would the A student know? The GLEs were written so like, okay, if you were at the bottom of the barrel that you had just kind of sat here, what are the things that your brain is likely to have registered by the time you graduated, okay? They were not at all ever intended to be the minimum or the maximum. Well, it would seem that the math teachers were not willing to budge because they thought, no, they weren't going to give up the minimum set of knowledge. And, things like math tables, knowing all your tables up until like the fourth, fifth grade, these kind of things, they weren't willing to give that up.
Mm.
Well, it would seem that the math teachers and their stubbornness was the telltale trail for me. Because when those standards got submitted to the Alaska Department of Education, they're on the website still under the web archive. The math standards, they didn't like the Common Core. You can really tell the math teachers were like, we're not doing this. As you watch the evolution of the standards from the time they left the teachers, you can see the impact of the consultants. See, these standards set on a website, and that's where the consultants start going to work on them and doing this. Now, obviously, they do it through emailing suggestions. Now, when you get an email, you don't know, or a comment on a web page, you don't know who that's from necessarily, right? I mean, you know, it says it's from Joe Schmo, but you don't really know that that's Joe Schmo. So, you know, this could have well been the consultants' SBAC making these recommendations. We don't know, all right? I mean, I guess we could probably try to trace it through IP addresses, but the reality is, things were changed as it evolved, and between the time those recommendations left to teachers until the time that the Alaska Department of Education put out preliminary standards, what they at the time said were final standards, they still were not truly Common Core as such, but a lot of the Common Core elements were already there. Now, as you move from the preliminary standards, everybody thinks are the Alaska standards, to the standards that the Department of Education submitted to the chief state school officers, it's very clear there are some radical changes. For starters, the state of Alaska dropped, in the English, the state of Alaska dropped most of the literary things. They adopted the informational text and the appendices. in the math. They dropped the math tables, and the only thing they left was like the measurement standards, like on time and money, time, money, and measuring things. Okay, there's one of the standards on that. All the rest of the stuff they dropped from the math curriculum, and I mean, it's very revealing. Okay, that in between these two periods, and there's no teacher meetings on records for that time frame. So it's very clear that even whatever the teachers had to say was really kind of irrelevant, because there's such these vast changes in the standards as they evolve. There are meeting minutes, one from the December 15th and 16th of 2011, where the Commissioner of Education in the meeting minutes is very clearly calling our standards the Common Core standards, Common Core-based standards. Okay?
Wow.
It's very obvious. The letter from Patrick Gamble to Arnie Duncan supporting the waiver calls our standards the Common Core standards. The only person, the teachers, were writing, even back before I saw the Common Core meeting, the teachers, I found four blogs that teachers have been writing all along wondering whether or not our standards were legal, because they were word for word identical to the Common Core, but nobody was calling them that. So I'm not even sure if the governor's office has even looked at them to even know what the heck they're saying they didn't adopt. They continue, even today, there are two people who called me up, excuse me, after they had discussions with the governor's office. I had recently made a statement in a teleconference that I saw Alaska on the Race to the Top website as one of the states listed as getting something. The governor's office denied it, as did two other legislators. I took screenshots, got the website URL, sent them back, and said, well, explain this. I mean, we're in it, okay?
Well,
they denying it.
Oh, Barbara, I'm sorry. Yeah. I think I saw our friend Alice start to try to join us. So I hope Alice try again. Okay. Let me try to tell Alice, please try again. But yeah, we just lost her. Tell us a little bit more. I may have to call back in. I see a little problem with that. I tell you, we've been having problems with our Blog Talk Studio, and I see a problem right now. So if you'll hold on and just tell us a little bit more, and I'll be here, but I'm trying to reconnect because I think we lost her. Okay.
That's okay. I can talk until you need me to shut up.
Thanks.
No, but I guess the bottom line is that, you know, the administration has continued to deny that Alaska even adopted the Common Core standards. But it's the only people in the administration are denying it, really, is the governor's office and his assistant. There was a meeting by the Education Committee in Wasilla back in June. Questions were submitted to Commissioner Hanley, and one of them was, what was the difference between our standards in Alaska, our new standards, and the Common Core? And in his answer, he very clearly said the only difference was a couple measurement standards, and there are a few other things different. And I think I lost my connection.
Oh, no, you're still on. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Barbara. Now, I'm going to try to get Alice again. So.
Okay. It just went so dead, I thought, okay. All right, so anyway, so even the Commissioner of Education has said that. Since that time, I've tried to get as many eyes on our standards that I could, that would possibly give some insight. It's because it's very clear. It doesn't really take a PhD to know what the heck happened in Alaska. The one was Sandra Stotsky, who many of you may be familiar, was on the validation committee and refused to sign off on the standards. Dr. Stotsky was pretty adamant, and she looked at our standards, and she spent quite a bit of time looking into them. And she said, well, these are the Common Core standards. She goes, there's only one or two words. She goes, there's only this one word different with scaffolding on a couple of the English standards. She goes, they still have all the same problems as the regular Common Core standards. Most of the writing, it's writing-based, not reading-based, which is in contrast to a century of research that shows that you learn to write by great reading. Those of you familiar with...
If I drop off, I'll call you right back.
Okay. Barbara Haney, we have got Alice Linehan on. Can you hear us, Barbara?
All right. Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Okay, let me introduce a little bit you to each other. Barbara Haney, Alice, you're going to love this. She is the one that is alerting Alaskans about the fact that they are Common Core aligned. So, you know, she is a professor. Is that right? Did you say you're an economist?
I was.
Economic professor?
I'm an economist.
Okay, you were. And so this is wonderful.
She's studying
the details. Well, she's studying the details for us, Alice, so you're going to love what she's shared. But Alice Linehan is with Voices in Power in Texas, and she's one of those people that alerted the state of Texas about C-Scope and Common Core, a.k.a. Common Core. But, Alice, if you don't mind, let me let Barbara hear you and the rest of the folks hear you about, unfortunately, what you have found in Texas. And I think probably, Barbara, you've already heard a lot about the C-Scope, so let's go to the point that we're at right now, which is, Alice, I think about a week or so ago, you discovered something that's going on with one of y'all's Texas university. I don't know if you want to go further than that, but anyway, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, and it's interesting because I am on the highway right now driving back home from Austin because I had a
Oh, Alice, we're losing you. I don't know if you're... Sorry. Are you okay?
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Anyway, I'm on the highway heading home because I had a meeting today with Governor Perry's education team. And let me tell you something. It's very interesting because we've been saying, you know, well, where's Governor Perry on this? Where is Governor Perry on this? Because, you know, Texas said no to Common Core, but we have the C-Scope that came in the back door. Well, let me tell you, it's very interesting. We didn't speak with the governor himself, but we spoke with the team that's consulting him and that's advising him. And I can tell you that they're pretty much on board with project-based learning and the 21st century learning. So it's very interesting when you have a state that says no to Common Core, and they wanted me to differentiate between the Common Core standards and project-based learning. And I said, no. Look, Common Core is a philosophy of education, and it's the way that they're teaching that's allowing this agenda to come in. And the other part of it is that philosophy of education it's not proven. And in Texas, we want our kids to know that 2 + 2 = 4. It's 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 2 + 2 = 4, but if you get 5 and you show us your work, we'll give you points for that. The Common Core is a philosophy of education, and so we've been battling C-Scope in Texas, which is the same philosophy of education. It's the standards, the Common Core standards, and C-Scope. It's just the system that they're using to put in place
to make sure that we're teaching this philosophy of education. So when you look at other states, those states, those of us that said no to Common Core, it's coming in the back door in every form and fashion, because everything in the education industry today is aligned with the Common Core, that philosophy of education. So it's, and one of the things that we were discussing with them is in Texas, we have all of these non-governmental associations, the Texas Association of School Administrators, the Texas Association of School Boards. Well, our tax dollars are paying for our superintendents and our school board elected officials to go to all these conferences. Well, who are the speakers at these conferences, and what are they learning at these conferences? Well, they're learning the 21st century learning, the Common Core philosophy of education. So that's my take in a nutshell, if you will, is that we've got to understand that this federal takeover of our education system has already happened in all 50 states across this nation, and now it's time for moms and dads to actually go in and say to teachers, what are you teaching my child? And he or she is my child, and I have every right to know exactly what you're teaching them and what the philosophy of education you're teaching them is. And if I don't approve of it, and if we as a community don't approve of it, we have the power to say no.
Wow, Alice, you know, it's wonderful to hear you and Barbara. Barbara, you know, before Alice came on, you were basically saying the same thing that I think Alice was voicing, is, you know, where is our governor? And I hate to tell you this, guys, even as Alabama is hoping that, you know, we are going to be different, I'm a little bit concerned about our own governor. I just saw an article today where, you know, he is – education is about jobs, and, you know, it's all about college and career-ready standards, and I'm thinking, I've heard that time and time again. I am tired of hearing that. But anyway,
well,
I think we're all going to have to educate all of them.
Career, the words college and career-ready are the definition of the Common Core in the Race to the Top grant. And every time you hear that terminology, you have to bring that back to them, that those words are the words that define Common Core. So really what you're doing, instead of telling me that you signed it with a pen, what you're really saying is you signed it with a device full of ink. Right? Why don't you just say what you're talking about? You're talking about Common Core. Quit trying to obfuscate the issue. Okay, this is the old-fashioned sleaze and grease, deflect and deny. And that's what it is. It's sleaze and grease, okay? Now, what I'm uncertain about with my own governor is how I'm not certain if he was duped, if he is uninformed or ill-informed, or is he, in fact, being dishonest with me. I have yet to make that determination. I would like to think that he is ill-advised and ill-guided. But I'm beginning
I hope
to
the
think
same thing.
I'm praying that that is the case and that he isn't crooked. Because if it turns out that that's the case, then I'm probably going to have to take some stronger action. Right now, I've simply been just going out there and educating people, alerting them to things. I've got some school board candidates who are starting to raise some issues. Well, they're not my candidates, but there are quite a few school board candidates who are out there now raising the issues in the election. Quite a few of them have asked me for information and details and documents, and I have provided that. And increasingly, I think this is going to make it very difficult for the governor to continue to deny it. He has submitted an RFP, a request for proposals, to see if he could get somebody besides Smarter Balance to do the testing. And I actually pointed out that Alabama was using Aspire and that we could modify or do a waiver modification and get the ACT Aspire rather than the consortium.
I hate to say this, Barbara, because it's still Common Core aligned. You know, ACT has put it on their website, and we talked to our Tommy Bias, which is our superintendent of education. He acted like he did not know it was Common Core aligned, so it is Common Core aligned. Alice, now, with Governor Perry, he's been very outspoken in the beginning that he is against Common Core. So are you guessing he is also misled or misinformed? What are you guessing?
Well, I think it's all in the marketing. Robert Scott, our former chairman Robert Scott, and Governor Perry said no to the Common Core. What we said yes to and what all 50 states said yes to was the stimulus money that set up the longitudinal database system. That was the first step, and we said yes to that. And so it's the bigger picture.
I agree with you on that wholeheartedly.
Yes, and so I think that they can put out publicly that they are against it. And he said he's been against Common Core, but he hasn't really been out there publicly speaking about it like he is on the pro-life issue, because this is a hot button issue, and I would venture to say you have to follow the money. And I'd want to know, you know, from the governor, why he's not out there being an advocate for moms and dads to go in there and ask if Common Core is coming in the back door. And it is so obvious with C-Scope. Why has he not been out there advocating to moms and dads that, you know, they need to go in and see what's in their child's classroom and be out there publicly saying that? He's out there publicly saying how pro-life he is. Well, I want you to protect children in the womb and in the classroom. And so if you're not willing to be out there as public as you are on the pro-life issue, why is that? And, you know, there's a lot of money behind this. And it is from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, but it's other people too, like Rex Tillerson from Texas, ExxonMobil CEO, I know for a fact that he was down at the Capitol trying to push legislators to vote for Common Core in Texas. So when you've got people like Rex Tillerson, who's been one of the largest donors to the Republican Party in Texas, and he's pushing Common Core. When you have Mike Huckabee pushing Common Core, you have Bill Bennett pushing Common Core. You know, Governor Perry gets to be out there and say, oh, I'm against Common Core, but then keep his mouth shut and let it come in the back door.
Wow. Well, I know that Maine I hear y'all guys, and it's breaking my heart because I'm hearing you say that. Why aren't they up front? And I've been thinking that same thing with our own governor, and I'm not the only one. And we do know there's a reelection, which kind of makes you mad enough to start really, you know, pushing some people to go up against them in the primary. But now in your case, he's not going to run again. But you do need something going on. And what do we do? Alice.
Well,
I mean,
and
it's just,
I'll tell you.
Just
I'll
can
tell
I
you.
Can I make a can I make an observation? I want to ask, how extensive is broadband access in Texas right now?
I do not know. I don't know. What do you mean broadband access?
Okay, well, here's the deal with the longitudinal data and the whole pushing for Common Core. These capitalists, and I'm not bashing capitalists, I love free market, free enterprise, okay? But
right.
The reason why these capitalists are all pushing is the computer sale contracts and the broadband contracts. Mm-hmm. Now, in Alaska, broadband is simply not at the speeds that the consortium wants. We all know this. Even Anchorage doesn't have it throughout their city, okay? They had Common Core, but they didn't have the broadband access. And the one thing the consortia offers is low-cost broadband access for some reason. I don't know how they're able to do that. Up here, it all has to be satellite backhaul. So it's a little bit different kettle of fish. I suspect it's a similar situation in Texas. But I want you to think about this. This, they don't need this satellite backhaul, this broadband capacity for delivering content. If you go on an Xbox system right now, there is tremendous capacity to deliver content. This isn't about delivering content. This is about receiving content. Because
right.
That's why you need the broadband for the two-way the two-way interaction. This is not about delivering content. And when they talk about delivering content through media, just say, well, look, we could do that now on an Xbox platform, and that's Bill Gates's platform,
right?
That's Microsoft.
Right.
So they can already do that. I mean, if you've ever sat there and watched these guys in the gamer rooms play Call of Duty, you could do that in the farthest reaches of Alaska. This is not about delivering content, because if it were, they wouldn't need these huge broadband requirements. This is about receiving information. That's what this is about.
Right.
It's about the NSA matrix right now. If you look at the NSA information matrix and the metadata, they don't have any information on you until you acquire a cell phone or you have an email account. So you've got this whole generation. Well, think about this. Five-year-olds generally don't get cell phones or email accounts, right? When do they get them? They get them when they're in their teens. So there's this, what I call this information dearth, where they have no data on anybody, really, except for maybe some vaccine data, in the what I call the lower half of the matrix. So if you're going to be a researcher with a mathematical matrix, that you want cradle to grave to do research, you need to fill in the lower half of that to get that data. Well, how do you do that?
Right.
Well, you do that by, for example, school records. Okay, let's get the school records into the database. Let's fill in the circles, fill in the O's, so we're not dividing by zero when we go to invert the matrix to do mathematical manipulations. Let's get them in early childhood. Let's really study these kids. This is Vygotskyism, and I don't know how familiar you are with Vygotskyism, but that's the one thing that C-Scope and Common Core have.
Let me speak a little bit about that. Oh, Alice, you're going to love this. I read Barbara's, it was an article, and y'all have this person, Linda Darling Hammond, that's of a special interest to Alice. And you too, Barbara. But if you don't mind, tell Alice about Miss Linda Darling Hammond's hero.
Oh, it's Lev Vygotsky.
Yeah,
and
tell
Lev
her
Vygotsky,
a little bit about him.
Well, if you ever read the Common Core teacher materials and the C-Scope materials, I might add, that the teachers are given, one of the things that is celebrated and embraced is Vygotskyism. And even if you go into an education, early childhood, junior college class at early childhood education, the rage right now is Vygotskyism, okay? and how he was about play therapy and learning through play and learning through projects and experiences. Well, that is not exactly what Vygotskyism is. That's about as much Vygotskyism as maybe some of the dirt under your fingernail is about you. That is a very small component of Vygotskyism. As a political, as somebody in economics and political science, I know Vygotsky is a whole different kettle of fish. Vygotsky was a very good friend of Karl Marx. And when Lenin took over Russia, he tapped Lev Vygotsky to run his re-education programs. And that is how, I mean, it's one thing to say, we will revolt and we will, you know, the proletariat, we rose up, we've taken over. Okay, great. Now you're taking over, what you going to do? That's where Lev Vygotsky's work comes in. And that's how you implement, that's how you, it's the implementation of Marxism. That is the component that Lev Vygotsky wrote and did put into place. Now, Vygotsky himself got thrown out, got sent to the gulag ultimately, because he told Stalin that his son was an idiot. And it could well be that Stalin was an idiot, or Stalin's son was an idiot, but Stalin was not. You could say a lot of things about Stalin, but idiot is not on the list. And he was not going to let his son be disciplined like that. But Vygotsky had this whole system of psychometrics where they would do all this stimulus response studying, and they would use play to evaluate your skills to see what you were best suited for and where you would fit in the new world, in the new economy. And if you didn't fit, they got rid of you.
Okay. Well. This sounds perfectly what we're doing with Common Core. Is it not fitting right in, Alice?
It's definitely fitting in. And you know, it's interesting because one of the discussions that we had today was from a national security perspective, what we're allowing for our children to be to given access to at school. And you know, a lot of these education conferences, the Common Core Philosophy of Education conferences, they're all learning about the, you know, the way to use Skype in the classroom or Twitter or Facebook in the classroom, to have this, to be a part of the global world. And just last night I was on Twitter, and I follow the TechEd hashtag because you can find out a lot of what the teachers post a lot on there. And there was a teacher from Lubbock, Texas last night who posted, oh, I just went to this conference and learned about how to use Skype in the classroom to create these global relationships. Well, What I was telling, and I actually got pushback today from one of the advisors today. I said, listen, as a mom, I can control who my kiddos hang out with. I can say no when they want to spend the night at someone's house, and I know that they will be exposed to things at that house that we don't approve of in our home. So as a mom, I'm protecting my child, and I can say, no, you can't spend the night there. But then we send them to school, and they go in, and they're on Skype with kids from Qatar. Or
oh,
from Qatar.
No. Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. And
yep.
So,
yes.
And that is in Texas. And so what we're allowing for them to expose our children to truly is a national security threat.
Wow.
Let me read this to you a second. I'll read you what Lev Vygotsky said about personal freedom. Only in community with others has each individual the means of cultivating his gifts in all directions. Only in community, therefore, is personal freedom possible. Just like all human society, the individual personality must make this leap forward, from the realm of necessity to the sphere of freedom as described by Engels.
Wow.
That's what,
well,
that's what our teachers are teaching. Oh, I've got something that's even got a couple more that are what I consider to be a whole lot better. But basically, this guy, Lev Vygotsky, just believes that you can't have freedom or you can't have, you'll like this one. And this one, I think, gets more to C-scope. An individual only exists as a social being, as a member of some social group within whose context he follows the road of historical development. The composition of his personality, the structure of his behavior turn out to be a quantity which is dependent on social evolution, whose main aspects determine the latter.
Well, wow. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I'm just so excited about what I'm hearing tonight because, Alice, I think we're getting to the bottom. And it's like, you know, we have to get to the bottom in order to really fight rightly,
right.
Because it's like trying to kill gnats, you know, and here's a giant in front of you, you know. And so all this thing that we've talked about, even, you know, what she had said about Murkowski earlier, opening that door, and then the governors, you know, and where they're standing. We've seen LePage in Maine, and we know that they can do more. I mean, this man did more, actually did something. And I am, you know, to me, I'm expecting a lot more from my governor than what I've been hearing. And I think we've got to have a conference because we do need to pull, you know, what y'all just taught us. I think more people need to really hear what you two have just shared. Because I know, Alice, you know, when we're thinking we're fighting Common Core, and should that happen next year and a lot of states get bills passed, I think they really need to be thinking right now ahead. Because one of the things that you have found out very, very troubling is that, you know, they're still writing lesson plans, so to speak, you know. go ahead.
We've got to clean out the universities.
Right. Well, and I'll tell you, after this meeting today with the governor's staff, I have no illusion that Governor Perry is going to help us on this issue. And I'm not even going to go there. But one of the people, and you'll find this very interesting, one of the people that I think is going in Texas anyway, who may be a shining light, is actually Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. And let me tell you why. David Dewhurst got his clock cleaned by Ted Cruz. And he knows and understands that the grassroots can rise and take a man out of office or you know, put a man in office and shut another man down. And not all the money in the world could have done anything to help David Dewhurst against Ted Cruz, because it was a movement that put Ted Cruz into office. And so David Dewhurst has been, I believe, humbled by that. He is the only person besides the Attorney General that I know in Texas who is in an ongoing conversation with the grassroots and moms and dads about not necessarily how to fight this during the next legislative session, but how do we fight it now? How do we expose it now? And I told him, he's running for office for the lieutenant governor again, and I told him, I said, listen, I could really care less about your political career, but I need you to take on this issue, because if you show up at places and you're talking about, you know, protecting Texas children's data being released to the federal government, and you're exposing that and you are speaking like a ticked off dad,
mm-hmm.
because there are children whose private information is being collected or has the potential to be collected, and so we need in Texas to fight against it to make sure that we're not providing InBloom or any other Microsoft organization with our Texas children's data. I said, if you expose that and you talk about it and you fight it, that's how you would actually get elected. It has nothing to do with PR campaigns and paying consultants. If you look at Ted Cruz and what he's doing with the defund, he's saying we can't fix it. They are so corrupt in Washington, we can't fix it. And we have to have the grassroots out there fighting this. And I think that the education issue is another, is actually as big. I think it's Obamacare in education. It's the
Obamacore.
And so I think that if in your state, those people listening from you know, if you can find one elected official who can, and actually the lieutenant governor and the attorney general are the only two people running Texas right now for a statewide office that can actually, while they're running, do something about this, not just promise they're going to do it when they get elected. They're actually elected officials now. So they have the power to expose it and to do things now. And so as grassroots moms and dads, we have the ability to say, hey, this is an issue that's great talking points for you if you'll fight it and expose it. And,
well, Alice, I'm excited about that idea. And I want to ask you, I think we need some encouragement in the different states. We need to really find that one man or woman. And I'm wondering if there's any way possible that we can have some kind of webinar and have one or both of them speak to some of our people. Legislators,
yes.
That's hopefully trying to get some spine and maybe, give them some encouragement, because I think we know enough. We know enough. If they'll just get on board, it's like you said, they would win, because, I'm going to support whoever it is that can get rid of this issue in my state. So it's a go-go.
Well, and, that's the whole deal. If you win the issue, you win the vote. All right, it's not who has the money.
Right.
And these guys still are not getting that. And you would think that the Dewhurst-Cruz election would have communicated that concept. But it seems to have eluded some people. I'm not sure. But that seems to me to be the issue here.
Let me give you some encouragement. One of the things that I'm talking to the lieutenant governor's team about, I want to host a dinner with moms and dads sitting around a dinner table with the lieutenant governor and giving him this information. And we want to get it all on video. It will be a great opportunity for him to have that video to be able to show that he's listening to moms and dads. And the moms and dads who are actually doing the research and connecting the dots. But also it gives us the ability to get that on video as well and start having kind of these one-on-one dinner parties with the elected officials who are running and say, hey, we'll provide the opportunity for you to create content to show that you're sitting down and listening to constituents and you're willing to fight this battle and create the opportunity for them to create content for them to use in their campaigns. But the trick is they've got to earn it. They've got to show up and they've got to fight like a mom or a dad in that state. And and I can tell you that when I proposed that to the lieutenant governor, he said, yes, I will be there. I will be there.
Mm-mm. I love it. Oh, thank you, Alice.
Well,
Barbara Haney, I think it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. The other thing, if you can get one going in your districts or even at the statewide level, and you have to play this however you play it, is to get certain, what I call a task force together, a task force of concerned citizens, and you can get a room in the library or in some public facility, usually it doesn't cost very much, and have people do different presentations on different aspects, okay? I'll tell you, the one thing that C-Scope and Common Core share is this lady named Linda Darling Hammond. And, you know, she is never forthcoming. She always hides behind the academic ivory tower. But she is the one who is the advisor to Barack Obama. She does reports for UNESCO, the Institute of Educational Planning. She is the one who wrote the words that you heard infamously echoed by Melissa Perry. What's her name?
Oh yeah, from MSNBC. Yeah,
yeah. The cute face. Okay, the cute young gal that Linda Darling Hammond went out and found to go be the face of this thing. I mean, when you're an older gal, you know that you don't have the sex appeal, right? So you go scout out some young talent to do it for you, right? And that's those words that she said in there were exactly pulled out of Linda Darling Hammond's presentation to UNESCO in the summer of 2012. So this, you know, that's what we're really fighting here. Is you have Linda Darling Hammond, you have William Ayers, her best friend, and you have Barack Obama and Arne Duncan. Those are the four people right there who are driving this whole thing. David Coleman is just a tool. I hate to say it. He's just a tool who's making money by doing this. I think if Jason Zimbaugh woke up and saw that he was a tool, I think he would not be very enthusiastic.
Oh, Barbara, I'm sorry. We're losing you just a little bit, Barbara. I think it's a great idea, and I think some states are already doing one or the other. I think both things are wonderful. You know, I know we're having regional conferences here in Alabama, but I would love to see, as you're saying, Alice, one legislator really take it and run with it and tell us, you know, they're going to be with us all the way. And we need that voice. But I do think, Alice, that wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some of these voices together? I know that I heard Mississippi talk. I heard a lady from Mississippi. I cannot remember her name. There's a YouTube video of her. Pretty powerful. She's a former teacher, so she really has got it. And you know, and of course, you know, you're talking about Ted Cruz and you're talking about Dewhurst. And, you know, if you could get some of these people together on some kind of a webinar or whatever. And I think they're such a force to be reckoned with when they're together. So maybe that's something, Alice, that you can think about maybe doing.
Yes,
I think you haven't got enough stuff to do.
Idea.
But
well, but, and just a FYI, Ted Cruz is definitely on board with us. He can clearly articulate the against Common Core. He gets it, as does his father, Rafael Cruz. One other idea that I want to put out there is right now we're in this primary season, and so at town hall meetings when across the country as people are running for office, this needs to be one of the questions that's asked. At these town hall meetings, are you for candidates, not just elected officials, are you for or against Common Core? And if you're against it, what are you going to do to stop it? And that's one of the things that we do here in Texas is train these communication teams across the state to create their own content at the local level. If there's a, you know, a town hall meeting in Waco, Texas, or Mount Pleasant, Texas, there's local people there who have their iPhones out and have their video cameras, and they're asking the questions. Just last night, there was a town hall meeting in Wise County, and I know that the state representative was asked, are you against, for or against Common Core? Are you for impeaching Thomas Ratliff, the State Board of Education elected official who's a paid lobbyist for Microsoft? And they got that on tape, and now they're pushing that out to their friends and neighbors in the local area. That's the key, is to have local people given the ability to create content, and then they share that with their friends and neighbors.
Well,
Alice, let me
recommend one other thing for you, okay?
Okay.
If you could. When you see that stuff, can you email it to me? Let me tell you why. There was a group of people that I was, of media people that I was sending information to. One of them finally did a special on Common Core, but he kept trying to get permission to go on the air and do it, and they threatened him not to do it. And this is a very, So guess what? There's a group that has formed a media company. They are specifically against Common Core. And that is why they formed, part of why, there's other reasons too, but that was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back on why they got out from, why they started their own media. And so you'll start seeing, I've been doing some of the Common Core work for them in terms of reporting and whatnot. So when you see that stuff, could you email it to me, BarbaraHaney100 at gmail.com. Send me the link. I'll do and give me enough information to do some press release or something. And I'll go ahead and get that out there. And I'm not going to, you know, I mean, I'm tired of trying to deal with the media. I'm just working around it.
Yeah. Well, and we have a radio show on Monday mornings, and the group that hosts our radio show, it's WBTM Radio, and WBTM stands for We Become the Media.
Right. Well, this station is 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's called Constitutional
That's
Patriot
right.
Radio. Okay. And Common Core isn't their only issue, all right, but it is a dominant issue. How's that? And if you go to their fan book page or their website, you'll see a lot of stuff on Common Core kind of popping up.
That's great.
We need that. This has been fantastic, guys. Y'all have gave me lots of ideas, both of you have. And I dare say the listeners have gotten an earful to make them really think. But Alice, one of the things that I really I'm thinking as you were talking, you know, again, I want to remind what you were saying. So when we go to these town halls, we need to be asking, are you for or against, you know, Common Core? And if you're against it, what are you going to do? So we do need to get them, and we need to build a list of all those people and what they're saying. You know, we almost need like the, you know, the Christian Coalition, you know, voter's guide or something. I guess each state's going to have their own, something like that to keep up with. But also, go ahead, Alice.
No, it's Barbara. And school board candidates.
Say that
again.
Well, one of the things that I think is important, too, is once you get that on video, start, you know, upload it to YouTube and start pushing it out. And I'll tell you, these candidates are not used to, they're used to the media, getting media interviews. They're not used to being questioned and then having that video pushed out. in their local community. So it's that's one of the things that we have to kind of train. That's part of the when we do an education summit, we're having one on Saturday, and that's part of the training that we do at our summits. Not just the information on Common Core and C-Scope, but the tools to be the media. How to, you know, make sure that you upload it to YouTube, and who are the key influencers in our state and nationally to get that video to get it out so it'll go viral. And viral doesn't mean, you know, 100,000 hits in a local community. Viral could be 500 if it's a community of 1,000, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So politics is all about our government is run by the people that show up.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks are not used to the people showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be creating content at the very local level in local small town rural communities across the states, it doesn't take much to ruffle feathers in a local community.
They can't hide anymore. They cannot hide anymore. We do get a chance at this, you know, these school board meetings. That's another one of those that I'm really wanting to go to, Alice, is the school board meetings, you know, because I'm not, you know, I don't know that every school board member even knows the truth about Common Core. I dare say they don't, not every member. So we need to find that one person. All it takes is that one person. And who knows what that one person will do with the truth. But I love it. Yeah, Alice, I think you need to do some kind of webinar and ask Mr. Ted Cruz to be on.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, let us put some of our fine, you know, let each state, maybe not all 50, you know, 50 states in Washington, D.C., but let us put some of our, you know, outspoken leaders in our state, you know, and do it maybe every so often to give some others a chance because he's carrying a big voice right now, Ted Cruz is.
Yeah,
and a lot of these people want to get on his bandwagon, which that's fine if you're on the right side. I don't mind, you know, and he probably doesn't mind if it's the right cause. But we do need a lot of help because this is a very big, bad problem. They're after our kids. So we got, I mean, nothing is going to be held back. And I'm sure if Ted Cruz can see that he can help with this, maybe he won't mind. But please think about that, Alice, because he does carry a big weight. A lot of people are tuned in to what, you know, he's saying, and we need we need a lot of attention on this issue. But also, I think what you were saying about the, you know, we're going to try to do what you just said about trying to get a conversation going, invite them for a dinner, and, you know, let our legislator have their say. But I was one of the things that I was thinking, too, is I think practical. One of the thoughts that I heard thought of when you were talking was we almost need a Facebook page for all the events that's happening in our state that people can find out and maybe see that they can go to. You know what I'm saying? You almost need kind of like a calendar of events page so that people can use these events like y'all are doing to have somebody there. So we're going to have to do something. I don't know if it's a – but, you know, it's sad because everybody's so busy, but if you do have one repository or a depository of knowledge in one place, then some of the people can draw off of that, you know, depository and maybe even deposit information. You almost need something like that, but I'm going to try to do something like that. Another thing that you've got me thinking. Go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Can I also make another suggestion? Because it could be that there is somebody out there listening to this show that is alone and is knows they have Common Core in the school and they don't know how to get other people interested in the issue, or maybe they're just trying to, you know, they're just so overwhelmed with, oh, we love Common Core, that they're not able to cut through the dialogue. There is something that is very telling
when you go through some of these books, okay? And one of the books, what I tell people, get screenshots of the books. Start talking about what in the material is so objectionable. For example, if they have journeys, which is one of the Common Core English language arts books that is very common in some of the rural areas, it has a story in there about Cesar Chavez, and the writing prompts are all about how to organize farm workers. That doesn't go over real good with farmers. And this story is placed in the book right as we're going, right as most places are going into planting season. You hit that story about it. If you followed, the pattern, you should hit it around March. Okay, well, that's coming right into the primary. So if you want to highlight that story now so that you have time to get people alerted to what's going on.
Right.
And also with the math books, okay, what is in there and what is not in there. One of the things that was very effective in Utah was when they had the YouTube video comparing the Common Core math book with a FAFSA math book and the lack of mathematics in those math books. That was very revealing. And even people who were kind of politically, just went, oh, no, we've got to fix this. you see what
we
I'm
do
at?
Need to fix it.
It's the one thing that moves somebody from being kind of, because I was for a while, I was kind of, then I saw the math books. When I saw the math book, that is where I made my shift and went, oh, no, this is not happening. Because math education, math is truth. Okay? When Lech Walesa fought the Soviet Union, their slogan was 2 + 2 = 4. And there's a line in Orwell that says, when the state tells you that 2 + 2 = 5, it's treason. It becomes treasonous to believe 2 + 2 = 4. When that happens, you know you're under tyranny. So I think that's something we have to hammering away. They're taking away math. What they're doing is they're taking away truth.
Yes, indeed. Well, ladies, I hate to let y'all go, but y'all have stayed on here longer than you probably meant to. And Alice, we're so grateful you came on. And Barbara Haney, I think the listeners got a lot out of this conversation tonight. I know I did. And I would, you know, we're going to have you both on again because I tell you, y'all just touched on a lot of things that we in the Common Core states need to know. So I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer. And Alice, I will talk to you again later, and to Barbara, but I'm going to pray over y'all if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for these, Lord, that have been researching, have been studying. Lord, we thank you that your word says not by, Lord, that you seek true worshipers that seek you and worship you, not just in spirit, Lord, but in truth. And that's what these ladies are doing, Lord, and that's what we want to do all over the country. We pray, Lord, that the information they give will be shared by so many people that, Lord, it will just ring in our hearts and mind, and that it will give us tools and weapons to fight the enemy, Lord, that seeks to manipulate the mind of children. These are your gifts to us, Lord, and we will fight for them because they're precious in your sight, Lord. They're precious to us. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity because you said in your word that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And, Lord, we're so grateful that you've given us so many people that have that knowledge and wisdom that you so freely give. And, Lord, we thank you. We ask for continued uncommon favor, Lord, for Barbara Haney and Alice Linehan as they fight the good fight, Lord. Give them more resources and tools. And, Lord, we just thank you so much for being our Lord, our Savior, And please, Lord, help the children to be delivered from these Common Core and the other keys to manipulation that's being used, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, ladies, and we will see
you
later. God bless y'all, and I hope that y'all will be contacting each other. I'll try to send you both an email so that you'll have each other's email. So, God bless
Great.
You.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
Talk to y'all
too.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.